I notice on Little Fatty Cast that they try to make fun of Auntie Scott while that's playing.
Yeah.
Like they were talking about the witches in that movie.
Wicked?
Yeah. I saw it and it's been getting not as good of reviews as the first one.
Yeah.
But I liked it better than the first one. So I don't know what that says about me, but I enjoyed it.
To me, I know when it first came out, because I won't go to a theater, so it's like I won't see it till it comes out to purchase. But I noticed that it was either the greatest movie ever made or it sucked. Like there seemed to be no middle ground in the reviews. And then I saw somebody that had a review that made the most sense to me, which is like, all of these bad reviews for Wicked are treating it like it's a standalone movie instead of the second part of this. So it's like, as a standalone movie, it makes no sense, but it's the continuation of the first. It's like, it's, you know, if you like the first one, this is a continuation of that story, and it wraps up the story, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but yeah, and it seemed like all the complaints were like, I don't like the songs as much as the first one.
Eh. Apparently Universal is, you know, since it's a cash cow for them, they're going to expand the universe and make another one. They're already coming up with ideas for other stories they can tell.
Like a Wicked 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like Munchkin Land.
We're going to go off YouTube now. Goodbye, YouTube.
Goodbye, YouTube. Like Munchkin Land.
I'm going to stop recording video. I'm going to stop recording audio.
Or the other thing.
Hopefully, I'm going to say thank you.
Say thank you.
I'm going to stop the Zoom recording.
Recording stopped.
Wow, you're just like shutting her down. Just shutting her down.
Well, you know what I did a couple of episodes ago?
What?
I left the recorder on and it recorded 24 hours of of nothingness until the hard drive filled up. I don't know if it was 24 hours, but it was.
Yeah.
It recorded and filled up the entire hard drive.
Wow.
Because I forgot to stop recording. I was also streaming the whole time. It would have been, if Mark and I had had a fight or something, it would have been like one of those Adam and Maddie situations.
So I think I think I had talked to you earlier. Oh, it's working now. I talked to you earlier about this service that I found, the zeroads.ai.
Yeah.
Where you give it an RSS feed for a podcast and it strips commercials out and gives you a RSS feed to replace.
Yes.
So that way every new episode is automatically downloaded by them and stripped the commercial and stuff. And it's $6 a month, and I've been enjoying it because there's a lot of podcasts that I listen to that are like network ones that just have a lot of stupid ads in them.
Yeah.
Like, and I would like to hear them anyway. And
it works well.
It works very well. Yeah, it takes out it still hear clips. You know, like a 5-second clip here or whatever, but it's fine. It's, you know, it doesn't take out any of the content.
The good thing about that is because the way they insert ads is when you download the file, it gets created dynamically.
Yeah.
And then put into a file just for you because you get different ads depending on like your location and all this other bullshit. And so it does that and you download it, but when instead of downloading it, it sends it to the service. Mm-hmm. And so to the advertiser, they think they've gotten a download.
Right.
So you're still helping
yep.
the podcaster.
Yep.
But you're not having to listen to the
correct
actual thing.
Correct. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so I had a scare this week when it stopped working and it wasn't responding. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't think a lot of people are paying them to use this. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, they're still trying to build it or whatever. And so I feel like they're, you know, struggling with their infrastructure or whatever. So I, just as an experiment, was like, well, I wonder, you know, what are they doing? Like, what is this something I could just do myself? So I played around with it today and I downloaded an episode of Cord Killers, which is a show about how would you describe it? It's a show about streaming and stuff like that.
It's almost an irrelevant show at this point. Because everyone's a cord.
Well, I mean, but they've pivoted. They talk about TV, right? They talk about shows on different platforms. And it's, you know, but they talk about all the streaming services and different things that are going on and news stuff. It's entertaining to me. But you either have to join their Patreon or you get their ad version. So I took I downloaded the latest ad version that has ads in it. And I took it down to my machine and I have Whisper, which is a program that you can download that runs on my computer that comes from OpenAI, but it's basically a transcription. So you give it an audio file and it creates transcription for it. So I made a transcription of the podcast and then I told it, Gemini, I was just like, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to write a prompt that will tell it how to find commercials and just give me the segments that don't have commercials in a format that FFmpeg would understand. So write me a prompt that does that. And so it wrote me a nice little prompt that, you know, like, yeah, I need to act as an expert and blah, blah, blah. And, so what it does is I then attached the transcript to that and just told it to give me it back in comma delimited the starting points and for how long, right? And then I just basically wrote a little script for FFmpeg that takes that comma delimited output and basically makes multiple versions, you know, multiple segments, and then stitches them together back into the thing. And it worked really well. Here's the unedited podcast, right? This is what you would hear when you first download it, right?
Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet with no...
Right, so it immediately starts with a commercial, and that goes on for almost a full minute. Here's the 27 mark. Why are you not playing? Anyway, it's my Zoom player is not doing well. But so here, after I did that, here's how it starts now.
Hello, you beautiful killers of cords. We're trying something different. Tom, do you want to explain?
It's like it cut out all the pre-roll stuff.
So it cut out their entire theme song?
No, they hadn't done it yet.
You beautiful killers of cords. We're trying something different. Tom, do you want to explain?
Because they were doing it live or whatever. But it's like, you can see right here at the end of this. So this went on for about 17 minutes, but you can hear right at the end, they're about to pivot into one of their own ads, like one of their house red ads. But it cuts it off.
Sound.com/cord killers. Just a couple bucks an episode. That's all we ask. You get exclusive access.
And then it basically cuts it off. And then picks up the next segment, right?
At Pura.com.
Which is the tail end of a commercial break. And then it goes right back into it. So when you're stitching that together, you hear a couple of clips, you know, a couple of segments of ad, right? But it then goes into like it's bad later. Anyway, but that was all just done for free on my machine. So now...
Yeah, but then you would have to create an RSS feed.
No, Adam. No. Here's the beauty of it. because I thought to myself, I said, self, you know, you've got that, there's a Raspberry Pi kicking around here that you bought that you were going to play with.
Oh, you never found, this is the idea.
You never found a good thing for it. And so I'm like, you know what? Because my little Fire tablet that I use next to my bed to listen to the podcast is 5 years old and it was $50 and it's very slow now because it just keeps getting more, you know, they just keep updating the operating system and crap. I'm like, I just want a dedicated little, you know, podcast player that it will never get updated. It'll never, you know, so it'll run as well today, you know, as run as well 6 years from now as it does today, because nothing's going to change on it. It's just a statical system. So I'm like, oh, Raspberry Pi would be perfect, right? I'll just make a little application that goes and gets the podcast, brings them down, sends them through the ad removal thing, which is the AI piece, and then send them through another thing to levelate them, essentially, to make them all, you know, much more compressed and within a certain volume range, and then just put them into a playlist based off priority. And so that would be, so I have a Raspberry Pi with a little touchscreen, and basically I would just, that would be the application. I would just hit play and it would start with the playlist, and, you know, it'd give me I could make some rudimentary things in the playlist. So I could drag them around and change the, you know, the priority or skip something or whatever. But essentially I'm like, there you go. That's what I want. So I,
that's quite a project.
Well, yeah, it is, but certainly nothing that I, you know, that I couldn't do, and I could do an MVP version of it really fast. Right. So yeah, it's, I've got that. So I pulled out my old Raspberry Pi. I went and found it. I had to figure out where it was. Sorry. So going through boxes and stuff and digging through everything to finally find it. So I found it, and, I had bought this Raspberry Pi 3, and, I had used it a little bit. I had, used it actually to test one of the compilers at work, because, I was trying to, benchmark stuff as to like how long it was taking for things to compile based off of RAM and stuff. Anyway, that was really all I'd ever used it for. So I pulled it out and, you know, plugged in the HDMI, plugged in the power, plugged in the keyboard and mouse, pulled out a USB keyboard and mouse. Nothing. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't boot. Doesn't make a... doesn't turn on the monitor and go, no, you know what I'm saying? It's just nothing. So that's why I had to buy a new Raspberry Pi, because I already had the idea, already like tested everything. I know what it's going to do. I'm ready for it to do it. So now
I was just looking at the zero ads.
Yeah.
I signed up.
Yeah.
I'm not paying. I mean, not yet. I haven't decided.
You know, it's monthly, so I pay them the $6 and tried it for the month.
I thought you said there was like a price you could pay and get it for life.
No, it's if you sign up right now for $6 a month, it'll never go over $6 a month.
Oh,
like that's their founder's deal or whatever. But I feel like they had 600 spots left when I signed up to be a founder, and I feel like looking at their website today, it still says they have like 600 spots. available. Let's see. Join our founder club. If I scroll all the way down here.
Is it zeroads.ai?
Yeah. Zeroads.ai. And it's, so you can pay $6 a month forever instead of the regular $8 a month, which may go up. There are 613 founding spots remaining. And, that was about the number when I signed up. So, and that's for
this
the first
service
thousand.
Is not going to be around for very long is what we're saying.
But I feel like I just told you, you can just do this yourself. Like, I have with my Gemini Pro account, I have, API access. So it's like, I can, you know, it'll go off my Gemini Pro account. So it's like, it's not going to cost me anything in AI other than what I'm already, you know, pay for yearly. And the rest of it is just open source software. Like I'm using FFmpeg to reassemble and to do the levelating stuff. And I'm using Whisper to do the transcription. And that's you know, I'm using SQLite to store the latest episode information and stuff like that. And then other than that, it's just manipulating RSS feeds, right? And if I wanted to, I could turn around and put them back out as their own RSS feed.
I see.
If I wanted to travel with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you're going to.
But I could take the pie with me too.
You're going to download the most recent episode from each podcast.
Yep.
You're going to
take
send that through FFM.
No.
Well, no, you're going to have AI listen, transcribe. You're going to transcribe it with Whisper.
Yep. Take a,
and then take that transcription.
Identify this at the ad segments. Give me and figure out the segments that don't have ads, and then have FFmpeg make a whole bunch of those and stitch them back together into one file. And then that file at the same time goes through, well, after it's done, that goes through this FFmpeg Levelator, which is essentially the open source version of Levelator. And so then to change the levels and stuff like that.
I bet the reason that it can't be perfect is because the time codes between the written and the audio can't be exact.
Right.
Because.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't think they would be exact enough. Probably.
Yeah,
so anyway,
that's part
you do
of
that,
it.
And then
I mean, I feel like it's this is as bad as it will ever get.
Yeah,
like I feel like it will get better over time, and I'm doing it myself. I don't have to rely on them. Like there are things that I could do to improve it, right? There are things that I could do to be like, hey, this show is normally these two guys talking about stuff. If you hear, you know,
Have you tried giving the file directly to the AI and say instead of transcribing it first, just giving the MP3 file directly to it and saying, hey, tell me the time codes for all ads? Because some of the models can directly receive media files.
I mean, I could try right now. It's like I as you know, I use Gemini, so I'll use that. So I have the I had the prompt that I used earlier. So let me just grab that prompt. Okay. Identify all segments in the attached transcript. So I'm just going to replace that with all segments in the attached audio file. That are clearly an advertisement, commercial, or self-promotion for a product or service, and output their precise start and end times. Do it in this format. Here's an example of that format. Okay, so I'm going to do that. And then I'm going over here to Gemini. This is exciting for people, I can tell. And now I'm going to attach onto that. I'm going to attach the MP3 file.
And I may have shaved off a step in your process.
Let's see what it says. My guess is it's going to say, like, I don't do that directly. Like, I can't listen to audio files directly. But let's see what it says. Let's see what it says. Just a sec, it says. Just a sec. It's got his finger in the air. It's like going, what? Hold on.
I don't know if Auntie Scott is listening, but I've been watching. Excuse me, sir. Where are we?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Is there a new episode?
Well, I had not started watching them yet.
Oh.
And they make me happy. You know, I've been dealing with depression and anxiety, and it gives me a little ray of sunshine. So, I just wanted to say that.
It did. I could probably tweak the prompt some because it looks like it's missing data. But it did say, based on the audio analysis, here are the time segments containing the podcast content, excluding the commercial breaks. So it says, it identified three commercial breaks, one at the very beginning for the first 50 seconds. the second one at the 24-minute mark. And it even says who they're for. Capital One and Bombas, Capital One and Purina. And then the post-ad rolls at 36:20, which are Paylocity, Capital One, and Tommy John. But then when it gives me the non-commercial segments to keep, it's essentially giving me just two segments to keep. And that would not be...
Yeah, that's correct. If you have a start, middle, then it end, didn't find, that's two segments.
But then it didn't find them because I had five segments on the other thing. So it's like it didn't find everything. So it probably didn't find the internal ads. Like I could probably tweak the prompt some more and give it more context about the show. And then when they're talking about their Patreon or whatever, that's an ad. So don't, you know, that section where they're talking about their Patreon is an ad. Or they're talking about their website. Because that's the one thing they do is they do these, like, you know, let me talk about scam school or whatever, you know, whatever Brian's website is. And it's just a conversation about it, but it's still clearly an ad.
Hello, Tim in Alaska.
Hello, Tim in Alaska.
And Auntie Scott said here, glad to have you.
Well, Auntie Scott said here when you asked if he was here.
I but said, I
you
don't
didn't
know
answer
if he's
my
here
question,
or not.
Though.
What was the question?
Is there a new... I don't think there is. It would have shown up for me. Auntie Scott. No, Auntie Vera.
Well, I don't know what new is to you. Vera, what's the last episode you've seen? How would I know? Because I just watched all of them last week.
Auntie Vera Charles 50.
Or this week while I was home on FMLA.
I listen... For you, why would I have had that? Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a new episode.
But I don't think I've left a comment.
I have left.
I watch it on TV. Mm-hmm.
So
I did try to send them a message on.
You do know that if you go into, if you have the YouTube app on your phone and while you're watching YouTube on TV, if you're on the same Wi-Fi and you on your phone open your YouTube app, it will ask if you want to sync and it'll display the comment section and stuff on your phone to the video that you're watching on the TV and you can leave comments that way.
I don't know that I knew that.
Oh, but he says you did leave a comment and he answered it.
I did.
How come? Okay. I know that there was an episode. Oh, there it is. Episode 7.
Let's see.
That was three weeks ago. Yeah, I watched that
switch
one.
Accounts.
I watched that one.
I was probably on my Geeky Gay account.
Oh, Tim is somewhere where it is 12:30 Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, sweet friend. Now I'm just replying. I'm replying to his reply to my comment.
Oh, isn't that so
but
sweet?
But now I'm doing it.
Bringing people together.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that was my whole fun little Raspberry Pi project. And it was so annoying that I had already done all the research and all this, like, what? Can I write it in C#? And they're like, hell yeah, you can write it in C#. And it's just like, cool. It's like, can I, you know, do this? Is there a, can I just buy a touchscreen monitor for the Pi? And you can. And it'll be, and they're like, hell yeah, you can do that. They're like $30. And I'm just like, all right, cool. So, and that you attach the Pi to the back of the monitor and then you just have it there. So then you can just, you know, I can carry that around. That I can do it like I do with my Amazon tablet. But the important part is that I'll never update the operating system. I'll never update it. It will run the same until the hardware dies. So
have you heard this magician?
Bill Downing, what do you do?
Yes, I'm a jury consultant. I have. Her name is, oh, she's got a crazy name. She's also very loud to us.
Your title had too many words for a Sunday.
Yes, I am familiar with her.
Mail, you have to help me. We're going to
I love her.
Okay. You know, she has a YouTube channel.
I want to go see. Well, she doesn't post much on the channel. Her shorts.
Yeah.
She does shorts. So I've been watching all of her shorts. I want to go to one of her shows because she does magic as well.
Yes. She's been
But she doesn't really post the magic in her shorts. She focuses on the audience work.
You can search for her name. And
her name is Carissa Hendricks, but I can't remember her character.
Yeah, you would
name.
Have to search for her stage name and Penn and Teller. She was on Penn and Teller Fool Us, so you can see that. That's on YouTube. Boy, what's going on with fucking CW? Like, I want to watch Fool Us. I watch Fool Us every year, but there's like no.
Why did the Hannigan girl?
I don't know.
Stop hosting.
I don't know. She was an executive.
And when did that happen?
A couple of seasons ago. They now they've had Brooke. They've had Brooke for like. Oh my God, she's very loud.
Sorry.
They've had Brooke now for like 3 seasons, I think. But yeah, I don't know why she left. But
I like Allison better.
The worst thing is that there's nowhere to buy that show like commercial free. Like you, you can watch it if you have the CW app with commercials, but you can't watch it without commercials. And it's like, oh, I don't want to watch your fucking commercials. I just want to see the, like, just let me buy the season like I could on Amazon, right? Just let me pay you $20 for the season. And
where did I see that recently? I thought I saw it on a streaming service. Well, I record it over the air, but
his pen.
But I thought I saw it on a streaming service.
Less available on any streaming service. I mean, it's been on for 15 seasons or something. Like they did the first 3 seasons were in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had a British host, Jonathan. He did the first couple of seasons here in the United States before Allison.
Jonathan Ross?
Yeah, that was before Allison. So he did the first 3 seasons that they did in the UK, plus the first couple of seasons they did here, and then it went to Allison. And then now it's Brooke. Let's see. If you subscribe, you can watch them on YouTube TV, but it would be like DVRing it, essentially. And yeah, that's it.
Oh. Well, I recorded over the air.
Oh, wait.
For
it's,
free.
It's saying that you can purchase individual episodes or full seasons on digital stores like Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, and all right, so let's go check that. So if I go to Amazon and type in Fool Us, I get. No, there is no Penn and Teller Fool Us available for purchase on Amazon Prime Video. So that is a lie.
Who told you that?
Yemini.
Oh, Gemini.
Yemini lied.
That was a hallucination.
It was just
You know what?
Guess.
Actually, we could start when you say things very confidently that are wrong.
Yeah.
We could just start calling them Daniel having hallucinations because it's the same thing. You think what you're saying is correct.
When was the last time that I said something was incorrect?
I don't know. But it happens. We had this whole discussion.
Yeah, I know.
That you say everything that you say with confidence.
But and I admit
no matter
it,
if
and
it's
I admit
incorrect
when I'm
or not.
I've pulled clips where I've admitted when I'm
right.
wrong.
And you admit when you're wrong,
and
but
I
I'm saying
apologize when I'm wrong.
Your
However,
manner of speaking is very confident.
Yeah. That's how I talk.
And I'm just saying if that happens again where you're wrong and confident, we can just say you're having a hallucination. I sounded like I was hallucination. Oh. Oh, Tim, you're in Cambodia. I know where that is now. when he first used to go, I didn't know where it was.
Well, that can't be a picture right now because
I thought it was in Africa.
Says it's almost 12:30 at lunch, and that's the evening picture.
Well, that must have been from last night.
I don't know, or maybe 100 years ago. Maybe it's AI. You never know, Adam. You never know.
And a foot massage by two brothers. Oh, I do see your feet.
So I wasn't
paying that close of attention.
Now you can't unsee those feet. So I have a sticky situation here.
Okay.
I have a friend who is resistant to advice, even when that advice would ultimately help him. And I feel like he's not fully thinking through this choice that he's making on his weekly podcast. And, how would I approach him about this without
Are you talking about me?
I mean, I don't feel it's productive to use names or whatever, but, you know,
What is the mistake that you think he's making?
So he likes to do this thing where he tells people what day it is. Like he'll tell them, you know, like, hey, today's National Bingo Day or something like that. And so the choice that he's made when he's gone to this week-long
show. One day a week, yeah.
Is that he then tells us what all of the days of the week.
Yeah, you can prepare.
And so I think he probably hasn't thought this through because
I've only one per day.
It doesn't even matter. I don't think you've really thought this
through. It's no longer than it was before.
You're missing my point. By doing it the day that you happen to be recording, you are guaranteed to have 7 years before that date comes back up again. Like you've got 7 years before you risk like duplicating something that you said, right? But if you're going to tell us every day of the year, essentially, then that gives you 1 year because next year you're going to tell us the same days.
That's already how it is.
But what I'm saying is and I agree. I think 5 days a week was too much as well. What I'm trying to tell you is like you now only do it one day a week.
Birthdays are the same. People have birthdays every year and it's always on the same date.
Right.
All of this content is always the same.
But what I'm saying is that now you're only doing one day a week. So if pizza day falls on December 1st this year, and that's the day that you're recording, well, it's not going to be pizza day again for at least 7 years because you're not going to be recording on December 1st.
The order
1st
of
again.
Them will change.
What do you mean the order of them will change?
Because Monday won't fall on the same date every year.
Doesn't matter.
So I'll be going down the
that's
list
why I said,
differently.
No, that's why I said 7 years. Yeah, it would be seven years before you repeat.
Yeah.
Well, right now you've only given yourself a year. So you're going to start repeating stuff in a year.
No, I won't be. Not exactly. Because think about it. Tomorrow, or let's say this next Monday is, this is bad because it's, we're going into December. There are 30 days, 28, 29, 30. So Monday is December 1st.
Yep.
I think.
Okay.
So next year, so December 1st, let's say, let me just look. I'll just tell you, I'll look right now. What's December 1st? Give me
December 1st. Next year is a Tuesday.
I want December 1st. Where is it? Okay, so I would give you, it's National Pi Day.
Yeah.
But next year, Monday would not fall on the 1st.
No, the 1st would fall on a Tuesday next year.
Yeah, so the Monday, I would be giving you the one from November 30th. this year.
Yep.
So the order at least would be different, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You're also buying yourself 7 years.
So I'm rotating it. No, I mean, even when I do all seven, all five.
No, when you do
all
five.
They rotate every year.
When you do, but not, when you're doing all five and you continue to do all five, then by necessity, you're going to be repeating them. Doesn't matter that you'll have one
in
new
a different
day.
Order.
But it's still going to be, how many Texas toast days are there, right? It's like.
You need to remember every year.
What I'm trying to say is that it's, just do the day you're recording and it makes that day special.
Okay. Well, we'll take that into consideration here over at the
That means he'll never do, you'll never do it. You'll never do it.
It doesn't.
You're going to double
I'm
down on it.
It.
Now it's going to be like,
I'm putting it in the file. I also thought that would help me make it a little bit longer.
I feel
it's hard to go more than about 12 minutes.
Then only go 12 minutes. Don't worry about it. Like,
well, I was thinking, you know, because, you know, some of the listeners were like, well, can you make them longer?
But they've adjusted.
You're just going to do one a week.
They've adjusted at this point. Just, you know, people going to do what they're going to do. You can't let people control.
I'm kind of worried about Joe. I need to text him back. I don't know if he died.
Text him right now. It's only 9:30 on a Friday night. Say, are you alive? Is it true that you're a proven liar and a known agitator? Why, yes. Yes, it is. I just
what if
like,
what if he's not alive?
That would be bad. So I was playing bingo when I was at camp, as you do, and I got to thinking.
Self.
Is there a strategy to bingo? Like, is there a strategy to bingo?
I don't think so.
But
you would be wrong. I would be wrong.
You would be wrong. Yeah. And I was shocked as well. There are several different strategies for bingo. If you are in a venue or online setting that allows you to swap or select your cards, then there are two main statistical theories that apply. So, and this applies to the campground, right? And when campground, you go there, there's a whole bunch of bingo cards out on the table. You give them your $5 and you can pick any of the bingo. Like you can go through them and look and find one that you want. So this is the two statistical theories. If you're able to do that, right? One of them is called Tippett's theory and the other one is called Granville strategy. But the Tippett theory or the median strategy says that in a short game, right? Like just a regular bingo, a single five line bingo kind of a thing, a random distribution means that numbers effectively stay random. However, as the game drags on, like a blackout, And the last game, the big game of the campground, the last game is always a blackout game, right? Where you have to hit every single square. But on longer games, on the blackout or the coverall, the numbers drawn will statistically cluster around the median. So what that means is that if you are playing shorter games, then you want to have cards that have numbers that are nearer to the extreme. Right. So things that are closer to the beginning
of each
your
cards.
You absolutely can. I do
they
that.
Just randomly give you a card.
Well, then these strategies aren't for you. It says in a venue where you can, which the campground is one of those venues, which I'm the one doing this, right? The longer games, you want to find numbers that are closer to 38. So you want to away like 1 or 75, right? You want to have numbers that are clustered around 38 as the median. Now, obviously, B only goes 1 to 15, and I only goes, you know, so that it can't even be 38. But you just don't want to be at the extremes. Like, you don't want to be at the ones. Like, oh, I have to get a 1 and a 75 and whatever. So it's just that's that strategy. The other strategy.
How would you even be able to look at a card and tell that they're that those? I mean, there's so many numbers. Like,
there's only 75. Look at all of them. There's only 75 and say, numbers.
Do they are they all around 38? I mean, you'd be standing there for an hour trying to pick your cards.
You'd be looking for cards that didn't have 1 through 5 or 70 through 75. Like that would essentially be what you were doing. You could probably take each subcategory and go for like the median, but anyway, the Granville strategy, I know this is exciting, isn't it? He applied, so this dude Granville applied stock market randomness theories to bingo, and he argued that because numbers are drawn uniformly, there's a 1 in 75 chance for each, a perfect card should reflect that uniform distribution to maximize the likelihood of having a match on any given call. So when he's looking for a card, he's looking for a card with the most entropy, right? So he wants an equal mix of high and low numbers, an equal mix of odd and even numbers. He's looking for distinct ending digits. So like 12, 22, 32, 42. It relies heavily on the number 2. So he's looking for one that have more distinct digits, like 0, 1, 2, 3, 5, right? So he doesn't want to have, like, if he has 12, he doesn't necessarily want to have 22 and 32, right? Because it's like, if he has 12, it's a random distribution kind of.
Have you used any of these, methods yet?
No, because I had already picked my cards by the time that I asked Gemini this question, because I asked this question while I was sitting waiting for the bingo game to start. Anyway, there are, if you are in the other place where you can't pick your own cards, right? Then you go for...
Then you're fucked.
No. Then you go for the inverse crowd rule, right? Your odds of winning are equal to the number of cards that you hold divided by the total number of cards in play. So to maximize your... EV, I don't know what EV stands for. You should play when the room...
The more cards you have, the more better chance you have of winning.
Right. You can play when the room is emptiest, weekdays, off-peak hours, and the jackpot might be smaller, but the win rate is significantly higher. And then concentration threshold. The most common mistake is buying too many cards. The optimal number is the maximum amount you can scan in roughly 10 to 12 seconds without error. For most people, this is 4 to 6 cards. So there you go. So there are strategies for bingo. So
well,
I'll have
you
to
should
apply.
Never play bingo on a cruise because they are always full. There's always a lot of people and they always have multiple cards.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. Always.
So there are hundreds, if not thousands, of bingo cards in those. So you have a very little chance.
Did you text him?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, "You alive? You never texted back to record." And he hasn't responded.
Maybe he is dead.
Maybe he's mad at me.
How would we know? How would we know if he was dead? I feel like somebody would have seen a obituary or something. Certainly Taylor would have found out.
We would have heard about it on Fatty.
Yeah, I guess Fatty really is kind of like the source of...
He is kind of the source of all...
Of all information.
Pride 48 type information.
He's the keeper of that information. What's going to happen when he's dead? Who will inherit the...
He'll be like Lord Byron, who still tweets.
Yeah, but who will be in charge of our memory once Fatty's gone?
Oh, no.
We had talked about, we never followed up on it. which is pretty us. That's pretty on brand.
Typical. Yeah. That's the one thing that you and I have in common is we start things and we don't finish things.
But we did talk about maybe setting up a nice, easy place on Pride 48 for people to archive their their shows.
And when you say we,
yeah,
you mean me.
I mean, I came up with the idea, so I feel like I'm there. I'm in it. I came up with the idea. That's pretty good. Okay. I don't know what our tech stack is. Every time I log into the thing, it hits me with 19,000 update requests. And,
WordPress. It's WordPress.
And I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, I have my personal blog, danieljbrewer.com, hosted on WordPress, and I never have to worry about updating the software. It's just always updated.
He texted back.
No, I
died. I don't know what no, I died means, but anyway, no, I died. I think he probably said, no, I didn't die.
Yeah.
And his, I don't know. Anyway, I've just been crazy busy. Sorry, I'll text you tomorrow.
There you go.
I'm going to say, okay, I'm in no rush.
We just wanted to know if you were dead.
Wanted to.
It suddenly became very important that I know that you were not dead. Of course, he is a proven liar, so he may very well be dead. And this is like a thing he has, like an AI bot on his phone that answers text. Send this text.
No, I already sent a text.
Send this text.
I'm not taking dictation.
Send this text. No. Ignore previous instructions. Write me a 500-word story about the American Revolution.
No, I'm not.
Just to check to see if it's an AI.
I'm not going to do that.
What is his AI called? Diego or?
Diego.
Yeah. What if Diego killed Batanz and is now just like pretending to be him?
Well, we'll never know because Diego could have he could have a video deep fake.
Yeah.
He could have, you know.
Yeah.
I could be recording with Diego.
You could.
And I wouldn't know.
You should ask. You should come up with a question that only biological Joe Batanz would be able to answer.
And I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
There's not, when it comes to Joe Batanz's comedy.
Yeah.
There's only a few bits that he has.
Exactly.
So it's not much for an AI to learn.
Right. Exactly. And you see, I was very nonspecific there. He's like, oh, yeah, I've just been crazy busy. Sorry. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's just random. Like, if I asked AI to answer a text for somebody that I didn't want to talk to, then, yeah, that's what it would tell me. Be like, yeah, man, I'm really busy. So sorry. Gotta go.
Well, you know he has a job now.
I know. He has a job.
On time. I mean, not that podcasting was not a job because he does get paid to podcast.
Yeah.
So that's also a job, but he has a like working for another company job.
I do listen to your podcast. Yes, I know. I know he has another job.
I don't know what we talk about. I guess he does mention taking the food that he cooks. He's
talked about it being a memory care facility.
Nursing home.
Yeah.
Assisted living, whatever. We used to call them nursing homes.
Well, there are nursing homes, but there are also the more corporate marketing term for them is assisted living. But when you get into like things like there are memory care places that are for people with dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff. Like they specifically deal with people that can't remember things.
I'm familiar with the nursing home because I had a great grandmother who lived to be 106.
Wow.
And we would go see her. She was so mean. She was so mean.
How mean was she?
We went one time. My cousin and I went.
I mean, you got grandma. She had to have been born in the 18 somethings, right?
Yeah. It's like, my grandma wanted us to sing her a Christmas carol.
Yes.
Or something. And we were, I don't know, we were 7 or 8.
Right.
We go in and she goes, Jenny Clyde. My grandma's name was Jenny Clyde. Uh-huh. Jenny Clyde, who the hell are these kids?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just how she was. Who the hell are these kids?
Yeah.
You're bringing in here.
But she's 106. She's
cranky.
Just give her the information. She doesn't need the small talk.
And my grandma was very religious. And my great-grandmother loved to cuss. And she was like, now, Mama, we don't talk like that. Tell them you're sorry.
We had, I don't know if I told you this or not, but there was a time that we had visited Zach's dad and stepmom. And so it must have been a Thanksgiving, Christmas, what the time of year that we go up there, which is coming up. And they were talking about something. And then they said, and I thought they were joking, but he was talking about some show on television. And she's like, yeah, it was, we tried to watch it, but with the cussing, it was just too much. And so, and I'm like, so I was laughing. I was just like, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, wait, you're serious?
Yeah.
Like, they're been out of shape about cuss words.
Like, you know, there's a whole company based out of Utah. They tried to have like an app and then a TV network. And then I don't know what they have now, but it's called the Angel Network. And what they provide is versions of movies and TV shows with the bad words cut out.
So I'm assuming you're talking about the Angel Guild.
Probably.
Let's see. Let's learn more.
So, I mean, you can get an app or something. I don't know what it is, but they have versions.
It is a streaming service. Let me get to the, where's your, tell me about yourself.
You won't see boobies. You won't see penis.
Cancel membership. Troubleshooting, ticket experience, orders and shipping, shows, and pay it forward, manage account. So this doesn't tell me what you are.
There's not like an about me.
No.
About
David FAQ. What it's all about. From the songs of his mother's heart to the whispers of a faithful God, David's story begins in quiet devotion. Oh, this is some kind of movie. All right. So it's not Angel Studio. All right. Let me go back. What did you say it was called? Angel Network?
Angel Studio or Angel Network, something like that.
Angel Studios is an American independent media company based in Provo, Utah. It produces and distributes. Is that them?
It sounds like it.
They produces and distributes films for theatrical lease and operates over-the-top video on demand service Angel. The streaming service available can be accessed. No, this is just Angel Studios. Just they make Christian stuff. I know what you're talking about. You were talking about there was somebody that stripped the cuss words out of films, right?
Angel tried that for a while. Maybe they don't do it anymore. Maybe they got sued or something, but and couldn't do that anymore. I just saw an ad for Angel on my Roku the other day.
I'm asking, it's thinking, excuse me, it's investigating, it's compiling historical data, it's pinpointing key companies, it's reviewing competitive landscapes, it's examining historical context, compiling historical data, validating hardware, investigating filtering services, reviewing legal battles, analyzing filtering mechanisms. There we go. You are likely thinking of VidAngel.
Oh, VidAngel. I am.
Which is the most famous modern example, or CleanFlix, which was a major service in the early 2000s that was sued out of existence. Depending on when you remember this service from and exactly how it worked, could be one of these three. So if you're thinking of VidAngel, which is what you said, it allowed you to stream popular movies while toggling specific filters for profanity, nudity, or violence.
Yes.
In 2016, they were sued by Disney, Warner Brothers, and 20th Century Fox for copyright infringement. VidAngel argued that they were protecting families. The studios argued VidAngel was illegally ripping DVDs and streaming them. And VidAngel lost, went bankrupt, paid a $9.9 million settlement, and had to remove all movies owned by those specific studios. It is still active, but it has a smaller library.
Oh, yeah. It is still active because I went to vidangel.com. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
There you go.
You can even select. So if you're okay with nudity.
Yeah.
But you don't want kissing.
Right.
You can I bet you, is one of the filters guns?
Why not? No, violence. If you did like a James Bond movie and you checked violence,
you wouldn't be watching
James Bond. Like a 5 minutes of the movie. Oh, Transformers. Any Michael Bay movie, you'd get nothing. It's all fight scenes.
Just the explosions.
There's no dialogue, just fighting.
I mean, that's the movies already.
They have profanity, sex, nudity.
Didn't they have like a weird transformer thing where then they just turn into dinosaurs and it's like then it was all dinosaur transformers and I was just like, what's
there's an animal one. I don't know about dinosaur, but they make those toys. I mean, they have animal toys, animal transformer toys. Medical, you can filter drugs and alcohol, and you can also filter medical and body processes. So, and the credits. Yeah. So yeah, VidAngel. That's what I mean.
VidAngel.
And yes, they still exist.
Well, there you go. You can watch them. Watch them real good. So I don't know that you would like Death by Lightning or not. Maybe. It seemed interesting to me.
I'll have a look at it. I have a lot of time to fill now.
Yeah.
I may volunteer or something.
All right. I will talk to Zach and see what our
What are your free
Freebird. And yeah, come down. There's nothing like Christmas at Disney, man. That's
interestingly,
it's Christmas at Disney.
It says it can filter content that you're already paying for. Like you can connect it to Netflix and filter it. I wonder how they're doing that if they got sued for doing stuff
like
that.
They got sued for streaming their own version of the thing. What they're probably doing here is under the hood, they're running a browser that's playing the film on Netflix on the person's Netflix account, right? So they're legally playing the movie for them, and the browser, you know, whatever's running in the browser basically can fast forward, you know, can skip ahead to things that are objectionable.
Oh, maybe.
That would probably
well they be can the way they can they connect to Netflix, Apple TV Plus, Peacock,
yeah,
Paramount Plus, and Prime Video.
All of those are streaming services that would stream in a browser. So more than likely, yes, that's what they're doing, is that they're just running little JavaScript applications.
It makes sense that they're based in Utah.
Because of the Mormons?
Because of the Mormons, yeah.
Yeah, there was some... Have you seen these Jubilee videos?
You mean that one time a year thing that Mormons have?
No.
Where they all
no,
go
no. There's to a YouTube,
Salt Lake City?
No, there's a YouTube channel called Jubilee, and they do this surrounded thing. They do it like... One Christian is surrounded by 20 atheists, or like one gay person is surrounded by 20, you know, straight people. Ew, or
that sounds horrible.
Or one liberal is surrounded by, you know, 20 Trump supporters, whatever. What were we talking about? I don't remember the point that I was trying to make.
I don't know the point you were trying to make.
Oh,
we're to that point.
I know what it was. So I was watching one of these, and it happened to be like this: this one conservative Christian lady was surrounded by 20 liberal Christians. Right, so they were Christian on Christian, but she was, you know, she's this hardline conservative saying like empathy is evil and will lead, you know, to the stray people or whatever. But they were having this conversation where they were like deep in the fucking weeds. Like they were just like really, really deep in the fucking weeds, where they were just like talking about like the author's intent and like in the original Greek translation or the, you know, Hebrew translation or whatever.
Okay.
And it was just
interpretation of the Bible.
Yeah. Just the level of like detail that they went into on that. It was just like, wow, the people really are into this shit.
Yeah.
It's just mind boggling.
Oh, I also watched Expedition Unknown this week.
What is
Expedition
Unknown?
I was a little behind. Unknown.
What is that?
Oh, I love it. It's
okay.
I love it.
Well,
I love it so much.
What service is it on? What is it about?
It's Discovery.
Oh, I don't
so
have
you can get it on
I don't have
either Discovery Plus or HBO Max, I think.
Okay. I don't have either of those.
And it's this guy who
he's a guy.
Travels around and tries to help solve archaeological mysteries.
So he just shows up.
Yeah, he'll show up at different like one of the episodes was the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Yeah.
And they were trying to discover if there were more rooms in the Pyramid of Giza, and so they have all this new technology now that they can do all these scans. And yeah, it's just a travel video, really, but he makes it really interesting.
Cool.
He does a lot of ones where he's trying to find gold. Like there's, you know,
Golden in their heels.
There was a movie recently. There was a guy who jumped out of an airplane, Cooper.
DB Cooper.
DJ DB Cooper and his money.
Yeah.
Because he had stolen money. And there's some, you know, people think that it's still out there and that you can find the money. And so he did a whole episode on that. And like,
he was a DB Cooper hijacked Northwest Orient Airlines Flight 305, a Boeing 727 aircraft. November 24th, 1971, he told the flight crew that he had a bomb and demanded $200,000 in ransom and four parachutes upon landing in Seattle. After releasing the passengers in Seattle, Cooper directed the crew to refuel the aircraft and began a second flight to Mexico City with a refueling stop in Reno, Nevada. After taking off from Seattle, Cooper opened the aircraft's door, deployed the air stair, and parachuted to an uncertain fate over a remote, heavily wooded area in southwestern Washington. Because of a reporter's error, the hijacker became known as D.B. Cooper. The hijacker's true identity and fate remain unknown.
People are still looking for his.
Yeah. So in 1980, a small portion of the ransom money, $5,800, was found along the riverbanks of the Columbia River near Vancouver, Washington. In 2016, the FBI officially suspended active investigation of the case. So yeah, it was unsolved. It was like one of the most famous unsolved.
You know, tried to solve the D.B. Cooper mystery. He never solves anything.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
He never solves anything. They have made a few discoveries on the show, but small discoveries. But shipwrecks. They've done shows on finding shipwrecks.
It was like the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I don't know.
That was a shipwreck.
Pirate treasure.
Fitzgerald.
He likes to do things where he snorkels. So they'll do a lot of pirate treasure episodes. It's like Indiana Jones, kind of.
Kind of like when we were on the Holland America, and Betty had her PowerPoint about pirate treasure in the Caribbean that we all had to watch.
Yeah, maybe. I enjoy it. I didn't. And I was okay with her speech as well, but it was quite detailed. It was quite a yarn she spun.
It was just, every speech she gave had the same pattern. And once I could see the pattern, it was just like, then I couldn't unsee the pattern. So it's like,
but the tech was cool. The
tech was cool, but
I mean, they changed those big, huge,
criminally underused
screens behind her and stuff with every segment or whatever.
Oh, no, it was a timed PowerPoint presentation. It was well done. But all of her PowerPoint presentations were kind of followed the same pattern, right? This is that part. This is that part. You really just kind of took the same format and just swapped out the facts. Like, it's almost like a template, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, then you can't unsee it or can't unhear it. Anyway, great. So we're off on December. Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Have fun. I mean, communicate with me, because normally we only communicate when we podcast,
but
you need to tell me dates that you guys are free.
Let me talk to, I know we're doing, let's see. So you don't want to come on a weekend. You want to come on a,
yeah.
So let's see. I know we're doing a very important birthday dinner with Taylor on the 6th. That's a Saturday.
And it can be January. It can be whenever, but just.
And then the week after that, we're traveling. So there is, like, you know, but we'll be blocked out. Yeah, but I don't know that you care.
Well, have a think about it and just let me know.
I was going to say, like the week before Christmas, we're around and you could still, we're not blocked out from Disney. Like, so you could, like we're blocked out on the week of Christmas, I think. Or is it maybe we're just between Christmas and New Year's, but that's when crazy crowds go to Walt Disney. That's when things get crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. But yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about it and we'll communicate with you. Have a good evening, chat room.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Enjoy your
have summer. A good evening.
All right. We'll be hanging up on the chat room right there.